from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's Big Ten Media Week with Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Jump back to earlier parts of your favorite fan shows on the Odyssey app. The only way to rewind Portland's sports leader.
Big Ten Media Week with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
College football.
The Fan.
Happy Big Ten Media Days, day 3. Yeah, can't go good afternoon. You know, it just doesn't feel right.
No.
It doesn't feel right.
I can't.
Yeah, good morning. Doesn't feel right either because we're late morning.
No, and I can't go full monkey.
Good brunch.
No. There you go.
We doing Thursday brunches in Portland? People love brunch in Portland.
They do.
We'll go Thursday brunch in Portland.
They do love a little brunch.
Big Ten Media Days, day 3, rolling on through today. We've already heard from P.J. Fleck with Sprague and Big Will Ortner. We had Dan Lanning just on. We'll replay that a little bit later in the show because we got 5 hours to go. We've had Terrence Ferguson, University of Oregon tight end. He popped on earlier. Today, the teams at Big Ten Media Days do include, obviously, the Oregon Ducks, who are making their Big Ten debut, along with the University of Washington, Indiana, Maryland, Michigan, and Minnesota. Sharon Moore just taking the podium at Big Ten Media Days in a dapper-looking suit.
Stellar suit.
Yeah.
Clearly a color-matched maize and blue suit.
He went look good, feel good, play good. And
the crispiest fade you've ever seen.
It was, he's got a look about him. He's very head coach look about him.
$200 haircut?
I would probably say,
right?
Yeah.
Flew a barber out.
See, I don't know. Yeah, that's a tough one. On the how much they are charging. Because, I mean, I feel like you upcharge when you have the celebrity client as well.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
I mean, that's
part of the gig.
It's a given. Yeah.
It's part of the gig here. But how much are you willing to pay for a haircut when you are that wealthy? Does it matter?
Yes, because then you tell everybody you got a $200 haircut.
Yeah.
That's also part of it. It's like, look at how much I spent on my haircut.
And if you say you can't tell the difference, I submit to the courts, Mark Davis and his haircut. You can tell that that man goes to great clips.
Yes.
You know,
I don't go anywhere.
You don't. Your hair is something right now.
My sister came over and was watching reality TV with my wife the other night, and she just looked at me and laughed. She's like, it looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's kind of what we're going for here.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It is what my
wife for a while thought like I was like curling my hair. I'm just like, no, it's just what happens.
That's just what you got.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to need every bit of a $75 haircut when you get done.
Oh, yeah. No. When we eventually get there.
Yeah,
you know, but we gotta do something with it first. Like we gotta either like do the undercut or you know, a little Kentucky waterfall. We're gonna work something in there.
Yeah, we've got. There has not been a whole lot of big news today out of Big Ten Media Day. Yesterday, right before we got on the air, we had Deshaun Foster with the gaffe of, I think, any media day so far.
Yeah, yeah, pretty easily.
It was bad.
So yeah, we're excited.
So we're UCLA. We're from LA.
Maybe you've heard of us before.
We're there in Los Angeles. So we got that going for us, which is nice. But Big Ten Media Days is cooled down a little bit. Maybe 3 days is too much. Could they have gone 9-9? Make it a 2-day event.
I mean,
would that have worked out better?
Could have made this a 1-day event.
Would there have been more action? 1 day would have been. 18 teams is a lot to get through. Could you imagine that? I think you could do this in 2 days, though, and kind of roll everybody out, you know, in an effective way.
Yeah.
I don't think 3's a lot. And 6, yeah. 6-6. Oh, Nelly. Whoa, Nelly. Swag is in Indianapolis still. He is efforting guests. We are trying to get Dylan Gabriel and Jeffrey Bassa, both the other Oregon Duck representatives that are at Big Ten Media Days. Hopefully we can catch up with them. We're also out to guys like Jed Fish of the University of Washington, who is their new head coach. Started his press conference off with quite the bang.
A little spice?
Yeah, he gave the, we beat Oregon 3 times in a row. Facts.
Fact.
Fact, that school has done that.
I do appreciate Jed Fish. He did this at Arizona as well. He does not run from the smoke, and in fact, he likes to crank the smoke up.
Yeah, and I'm here for all of it.
And he doesn't shy away from it.
No.
It's funny. It's not quite as loud as Dion does it, but he likes the saber rattle. And I'm here for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see how it all pans out. I think, and this is going to be something that we talk about today, sleepers, disruptors in the Big Ten this year, because the Big Ten media polls that have Washington at 10th in the conference. That's wildly low.
It's a little tough.
That is low. They do not have Michael Penix Jr. They do not have Roma Dunze, Jalen McMillan, Jalen Polk. But they are not void of talent to finish in the bottom half of the Big Ten. And they're going to be well coached because you do have Jed Fish, his staff. They can coach football. We know that. We know that he has assembled a very good staff in Seattle. 10th seems wildly low. Wildly low, especially when you look at some of the teams that have been kind of sorted ahead of them. Now, when you're replacing as many starters as they are replacing from a national championship team, yes. Am I expecting them to finish in the top four? No.
No.
But to look at them as a bottom half team in the Big Ten this year, I don't know. So we'll go through that, and maybe as you sort through it, you go, yeah, that's where we do see Washington is in that 9th, 10th spot. But I don't see them being a bottom half of the Big Ten team.
No.
I just don't.
No.
And Will Rogers is a good quarterback. He is no Michael Penix Jr. He's not as dynamic as some of the quarterbacks that we've seen in the Pac-12 or, you know, that you will see in the Big Ten this year. But I think people forget because of the down year Mississippi State had across the board last year.
Hold on, everybody.
No.
We're going to go over to Swag in Indianapolis. We've got Jeffrey Bassa sitting down.
Yes. All right. Joining us now is a Fiesta Bowl MVP and returning for the Oregon Ducks, a linebacker, Jeffrey Bassa, joining us. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. How y'all doing?
Great. How's Indianapolis? We've talked to you from L.A. Now we get you in Indianapolis. How's Indianapolis treating you guys so far?
It's been great so far. Yeah, it's been great so far. The flight out here wasn't too bad. Wasn't too shabby. You know, watching a little bit of Netflix. But, yeah, no, it's been great out here so far. The hospitality's been great. Seeing this stadium, you know, for sure going to be here a couple more times. So, yeah, no, it's been amazing.
What are you watching on Netflix?
Yeah, exactly. That's what yeah,
What's on the Netflix for you?
Right now, watching Your Honor. I don't know if you guys have heard of that.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a good show, yeah.
Yeah.
Brian Cranston, I think he's the judge in that, right?
Yep.
You season one still? You on season two?
Season two is starting to get a little wicked. Yeah, right.
I mean, season one got pretty wicked. Okay, I got to ask you this because this has been a track for you, at least for me personally, because you have undergone one of the most obscene physical changes I've ever seen of somebody in college football. What is your weight now?
Yeah, my weight right now is 231. That's what I weighed in at.
Goodness gracious. All so right. you were what, 185 when you got on campus, if I remember right?
Yeah, 185, 190. Yeah, around there.
So you've put on 41 pounds.
Yep. Yes, sir.
It's amazing what diet in a weight room can do for you. Diet in a weight room.
Man.
Holy smokes.
Yes, sir.
What does this offseason look like for you, Jeffrey? I mean, you guys have had... obviously, there's a lot of change going on that defense. You guys have, whether it's recruiting, hitting the portal, development of the younger guys, there's a lot of new faces that are going to be rolling in on the defensive side of the ball. What does it look like this offseason since the end of spring ball to now ramping up to where you guys start practice next week?
Yeah, right now it's just getting everybody on the same page. I think from spring ball all the way to summer workouts, it's been a lot of tension that's been built up from the guys, right? It's kind of like having an 11-headed goat on offense and defense, you know what I mean? And obviously we have a great two deep right now, so it's a lot of guys want to just say, oh, hurry up and put the pads on and hurry up and line up against Idaho and then, you know, week through week. But right now it's just getting everybody on the same page, getting everybody dialed in. We all know that fall camp is going to be a grind. So it's going to be up to me and some of the leaders on the team to keep this team consistent throughout fall camp and, you know, keep this team healthy as well. So
you guys didn't lose many games last year. What did you learn in those losses that can set you up for this year?
Yeah, what I learned the most would have to be crucial plays and little details in games can literally win or lose you games. I think literally the first time that we played Washington, there was a couple plays, like if we converted that first down on that last drive, probably would have sealed the game, right? Or, you know, the second time we just had to stop the run. All right, they were running simple plays and we literally just had to stop the run. But I think it came down to little things that we sometimes shot ourselves in the foot, whether that was with penalties or, you know, we weren't expecting this and they showed something new or something like that. So, yeah, it just came down to little details.
All right, I have to ask you about this one. Last year, Texas Tech to start the season, that was a wild scene. That was a wild scene. On the sidelines, as a sideline reporter, I'm getting tortillas thrown at me for four quarters of the game. Water bottles were being thrown for four quarters of the game. And at the end of that game, you had the 45-yard interception return for a touchdown as time was winding down. What was going through your head when you see ball come your way, former teammate with the rock in his hands, and he releases the ball, and you're going down that sideline saying, I'm going to seal this thing?
Yeah, so I kind of want to give you guys a little story. So when I first got to Oregon, COVID was kind of still a thing. My first workout at Oregon, Tyler was standing off by himself. And so, you know, I was new. I really didn't know nobody except my roommate. So I was just walking around, and he was the first person that shook my hand. He was like, hey, what's going on, bro? My name's Tyler. I was like, what's going on? My name's Jeff. So, shoot, fast forward a couple years later, it's like, wow, right? But, you know, going back to that play, kind of just seeing the seeing Dorless hit the quarterback, and then going back to that play, it's like right when I saw the ball, like I kind of like panicked because I knew I had to catch it, right? It was just right there in front of my face, and I knew that we only had a couple seconds left in the game. I was not thinking of going down. I know that if I would have caught the ball and went down, the game would have been over, but I was not thinking about going down. I kind of got chewed out after that, you know, from Coach Lanning and some of my teammates. They were like, Jeff, why didn't you go down? And I was like, no, woody-woo, like, now I have a touchdown. We can just say that. But, but yeah, no, it was an amazing feeling, man. It was amazing feeling to, you know, just be in that type of game, you know, with that much adversity and kind of seal it off by myself. So,
well, speaking of those kind of adversities and crowds that you guys are going to have the opportunity with, you guys are going to have, you know, three new kind of road experiences at Purdue, Michigan, and Wisconsin. When you look at that schedule for you guys, which one of those is the one that really jumps out to you as like, this is where I want to really shine?
Yeah, I would really have to say Wisconsin and Michigan. I think that people know that Michigan, obviously what they did last year, I think they're, Coach Harbaugh did a great job last year coaching that team, right? And they, you know, he got them all the way, and, you know, they did it big, right? And I know that team's still going to have a target on their back from this season, from, you know, multiple teams that they faced last season and as well as us, right? So I think that, you know, heading into that game, there's obviously going to be a lot of eyes, right, both on us and both on them. So it's just about – I think it's really just going to be about – How good can I not let the external factors and the outside noise not affect that, like, my success in that game, right? And then as well as Wisconsin, I know that they have a huge tradition with jump around and stuff like that. I know they have an amazing stadium, so I'm excited to, you know, go see what their fans are talking about.
Jeff, before we let you go, man, I got to ask, because a lot has been made about the University of Oregon, the recruiting, whether it's, you know, with the high school talent or in the transfer portal and keeping guys around, about NIL being the only thing. I have long said that relationships matter more than anything in recruiting still. NIL can get you in the door, can help you close, but relationships matter. What is this staff and Coach Lanning, what do they mean to you guys as far as the relationship standpoint in building what you guys have built and kept together at Oregon, with not a lot of guys leaving in the portal, but a lot of guys coming back around and coming in?
Yeah, they mean the world to me. I think just the relationships that I've built with them since they came in have been genuine. They've been true. They've never broken or went against their word. They've always kept their word. And, you know, I don't think money's going to change that. I don't think, you know, any external factors are going to change that. But that's just who they are as people. I have great relationships with almost dang near every single coach on our staff. I feel comfortable every time I'm in the facility. I know that I can ask anybody for any support whenever I need it. I know that they're gonna answer when I call them. And I know that they're always going to be there for me. And, you know, the energy is going to be reciprocated both ways. So I think, you know, no amount of money or no amount of, you know, bragging or any or little thing like that is going to change how much they mean to me and how much I mean to them.
I think Coach Lanning said it best before the Colorado game: rooted in substance, right?
And, no doubt.
And there it is right there. Jeff Bossa, we appreciate you sitting down with us for a few minutes today. Good luck this season. We'll see you next week down at Oregon Media Day.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right, there he is, Fiesta Bowl MVP, linebacker for the Oregon Ducks, Jeff Bossa, coming back for another run down in Eugene. Yeah, he's a great dude.
Yeah.
And Your Honor is that nails.
That is a twist of a show.
That was a very good show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. How about that taking over early?
41 pounds.
And I knew from the minute he started breaking down that Texas Tech play, because I wanted to hear him say it, he got his butt chewed out.
Oh, yeah.
Because
he's supposed to go down.
Go down. They were up 31-30, yeah. if you forgot. 31-30 with 35 seconds to go in the game. Bossa picks it off. And when he caught it, it was like there was nobody. Lame. Like, he was just going to go. And everybody's like, go down. Nope, he's going to just score right there. Mm-hmm. Made that one a little bit more comfortable down.
Hey, you know, it's what's the Inglorious Bastards? You know, you're gonna go to jail for this. It's like, nah, I'm gonna get chewed out. I've been chewed out before. That was, you know, like, you knew in that moment, like, I'm supposed to, but
yeah.
How often do I get this chance?
I got green grass in the most hostile fans that I've been around.
I'll show you what a tortilla
for the last
looks like.
3 hours. I just want to shove it in their face. Yep. But great stuff from Jeff Bossa. We're underway. Big Ten Media Days down in Indianapolis. All right, we've already got one in the books. Jeff Bossa, linebacker for the Oregon Ducks. Hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up with Dylan Gabriel and a lot more of the movers and shakers. Again, we'll go to the six teams, go through the six teams that are in Indianapolis today for Big Ten Media Days. Oregon, Washington making their debuts. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, Jeff Bossa, linebacker for the Oregon Ducks, he just joined us. Great stuff from him. It's incredible when you think of the perception of a lot of student athletes around, right? And I think Cardale Jones definitely didn't help this out when he tweeted out infamously, I didn't come here to play school.
Play school.
To Ohio State.
Old 12 gauge.
You get the idea that, you know, you've got just a bunch of meatheads. But obviously, when you hear the student athletes that have been brought in and they come on, you know, the airwaves. We talked to Nate Carter yesterday, mm-hmm. the running back from Michigan State. He blew me away. Yeah. Jacob Cowling, the former Arizona wide receiver.
Yeah, he was incredible when we had him.
He was fantastic down, you know, Clark Phillips and Jeff Bossa.
Who's the Cal safety? Sermon.
Yeah. Jacob Sermon. He was, they're all, you sit there and you're just blown away by how put together all these.
You're like, you're 21?
Golly.
What?
Yeah. But great job of identifying also. And look, there's no mistake about it. All these coaches are bringing the guys that interview the best, have great personalities, and that they want front and center because they're proud of these young guys.
That's why they bring these guys. You bring in the guys that shine.
Hot damn. All right, we got six teams today. Indiana, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Oregon, and Washington. Two new kids on the block, and then the reigning national champs in college football. All part of the action in the Big Ten Media Days, day three today. You know, it's pretty incredible when you think about, we talked about this earlier, where Cleveland.com and then USA Today's media members did their preseason rankings because the Big Ten does not release a preseason poll of their own. Mm. And how low,
cowards.
how low schools like the University of Washington were on on the preseason rankings. They are replacing 20 of 21 starters.
Well, 20 of 22 starters,
it should be. I don't know how Jed Fish said
21 of 22.
21 of 22. Yeah. I think he said 20 of 21. No.
No, he said 21 of 22. Okay. Maybe corrected
it later.
But.
I saw the quote that said 20 of 21. I was like, you guys gonna play 10 almost out of the ball?
Yeah, they're that good. It's actually kind of interesting. You're seeing the teams that are kind of projected at the bottom not kind of downplay it or be like, hey, we're in a rebuilding year. Accept that that's how they're being talked about. Obviously, Fish has come out and opened basically his statement by reminding Oregon that, hey, we've won three straight against you. It was like, oh, okay. We're going to just go right there to start this. Oh, okay. And then you've got Cignetti at Indiana who has said, hey, I'm not stating anything out of pocket. This is historical. If you pick me next to last, guess what I've done every time?
He has won.
So you've got these teams that are looked at the bottom, and you've got some coaches that aren't shying away from that challenge. And you're not getting the, we're in a bit of a cyclical spot, and, we're structure and rebuilding and, in between. It's like, no, we're not settling. And it's not even just that. They're also, like, firing shots at other people. And it's like, oh, this is going to be kind of fun.
Yeah. And, I mean, you look at it and you go, all right, Kirk Cignetti, right? He took over James Madison. And I think that when Cignetti says, check my track record and look what I've done, people are like, oh, well, we never heard of James Madison before. James Madison was a football powerhouse before he got there. He went 14-2, lost in the championship game, lost in the semifinals in 2020, went 7-1, went 12-2 in 2021, 8-3 when they made the jump from FCS to FBS in the first year and won the Sun Belt Conference. And then last year went 11-1. And won the Armed Forces Bowl.
Oh,
it pretty good.
Not bad.
52-9 at James Madison.
Is that a good record?
That is a very good record. You look at what he did before. Before James Madison, he was at Elon, and in back to back years,
basketball school,
went to the FCS playoffs. But he was 14-9 during his time there. IUP is where he was at before that. 53-17. He's 119-35 in his career. He has won everywhere he's gone. At the same time, he has not taken over a program in such a dire situation as Indiana.
No.
Indiana is a different animal. Yeah. But I think the fact of the matter is, you look across the board coaching, we were discussing this yesterday, there aren't a lot of programs where coaches are on the hot seat even. I mean, the one team where people are saying the hottest seat is a team that has a national title aspirations. Ryan Day at Ohio State. Yeah. So I think when you look at it, good coaching means teams overperform their talent level, right? Yeah. And where they're at. If you look at it, let's take a look at some of the sleepers across the world of the Big Ten. The Cleveland.com poll that we discussed earlier. They've got Washington at 10th. They've got Rutgers at 9th. They've got Nebraska, 8th in the conference this year. And, Indiana that you were talking about is at 17. Right before them is Michigan State with Jonathan Smith at 16. Who are the sleepers that could surprise some teams this year in the Big Ten? We'll get to that after Rust with SportsCenter. Big Ten Media Day is on the Fan, brought to you in part by Mods PDX. The future building is here, also in part by Legends Casino. Fun is how we roll. A Big Ten preseason media poll released on Monday had Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, and Michigan going 1-4 in now an 18-team conference. And those are the four usual suspects that you would imagine would be at or near the top. The defending national champs with all that they are having to replace on both sides of the football being at fourth, they're going to be really damn good. It all depends on continuity and how fast they can catch up and get used to playing. Their quarterback also, replacing J.J. McCarthy and going to Alex Orji, is going to be big task. You have a top 10 quarterback drafted, whether you believe he was top 10. He's a first-round quarterback by many draft grades, and that's where he went, 10th overall to the Minnesota Vikings. They've got big shoes to fill. After that, though, you sit there and you look at the Big Ten and you go, what teams are being undervalued here? And Iowa comes in at 5th, USC 6, Wisconsin 7, Nebraska 8, and then Rutgers rounds out the top half at 9. I'm high on Rutgers. I think Rutgers is going to be good. Nebraska's schedule is so easy out of the gate.
They avoid everyone and their favorite. Nebraska, a team that is, again, picked what in the conference?
They are picked to finish 8th in the conference.
Okay, 8th in the conference has favored in their first 7 games.
Yeah, and in their first 7 games, if you look at their toughest test that they will be facing, they got Colorado week 2, and then they have Rutgers, I think, is week 6. Mm-hmm. Their first 7 weeks, you could see Rutgers just rattling off win after win after win. But we also have to say Dylan Raiola is a true freshman that will be starting at quarterback for them.
Regardless of how talented he is.
Major question marks. Major question marks. And when, especially when you don't have like the elite of the elite talent surrounding him.
Yeah.
That makes it tougher.
The offset of that is, though, the schedule. They're not going to be playing teams that are run 4 deep like Oregon and Michigan and Ohio State. You're not worried about that part of it, yep, per se.
And now, they know that Ohio State is that week 8 team for them.
Yes.
But you have plenty of time to ramp up that schedule.
Which, if you're talking about getting a freshman quarterback kind of ingratiated, I don't think you could have a better opportunity. If you want to take a look back, even just last year, Dante Moore, the up and down start that he had before they eventually kind of went, and we got to pull the plug.
Yeah.
Because he's just not ready.
You're going to get kicked in the teeth early. And how you avoid that is paramount.
I'm trying to think of the last time we had a true freshman starter besides Dante Moore. Was it at SC with Jackson Dart?
Yeah, no, it wasn't Slovis. Who's the kid
Slovis
early enrolled. He was supposed to be a senior.
17.
Yeah, he was supposed to be a senior at Mater Dei. He was a starting quarterback at USC.
Won their first 3.
Somehow, I think he's probably still playing quarterback in college football right now.
Dart is.
It's wild to think about.
Which is insane to think about.
Yeah, it's really hard to win.
It doesn't happen often. And like that's what was such a shock was that Slovis, I believe, won his first 3. And he actually looked relatively good. It was like, oh, God, a true freshman?
You got to go through those lumps, though, and you will have those lumps somewhere along the road. Nebraska's at 8. Rutgers, we talked about them yesterday, where they miss the top 4 teams in this poll. They do not play Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, or Michigan this season.
Convenient.
That is the makings of making a push as the season goes on, right? And sitting there and going, they're going to be more relevant than what people believe. Then you have, in the back half, you have Washington at 10. And I still believe Washington has got more talent than the team that should be 10th in this conference. You look at their Big Ten schedule, though, they have Rutgers on the road, and that is not going to be an easy task, especially when you have to go on a short week all the way across the country, right? Because that will be a Friday game in New Jersey. Then you have Michigan right after them. Iowa at following Michigan, you play USC, you go on the road to Penn State, you have to go on the road to Oregon. That is where people are saying that's where you see Washington as the 10th best team. Attrition is going to be the key for UW because of how many pieces that you are replacing. They have got to stay healthy.
Do you think that's also this? We've talked about this as being the important thing. And when we had Pete Thamel on the other day, he said the same thing. The consistency is going to be the thing that kind of holds true for so many teams where it's the more veteran teams, it's the more consistent teams. Mm-hmm. Do you think, though, that there's a chance for some volatility, though, with UW? And much the same, we saw this 2 years ago with USC when Lincoln Riley first came over and basically brought in an entire new team. And they win 11 games. So we've seen teams be able to do this, to essentially replace and gut out and completely rebuild. And now they're doing something. We're not talking about UW, I think, enough in how different they're going to be. Because they're, like we said, 21 of 22 starters. We've never seen anything like this at this level.
Joe Moore award-winning offensive line. You have to replace all of them. Yep. They feel that the strength of their team right now is running back room. Mm-hmm. On the offensive side of the ball, that is wholly dependent on how good your offensive line is. Their wide receiving core, it got gutted because you had three NFL guys on it.
You had probably a all-time receiving core at your institution.
So you have, when you have those three wide receivers all taking off and heading to greener pastures, it's, all right, how do you reload? Denzel Boston is a guy they feel very high about. They got Jonah Coleman, transfer from Arizona, who played under Jed Fish last year, and he was no Jacob Cowing or Tetro McMillan, but he was a productive sophomore for them who transfers in, and he all familiarity with the offense. Will Rogers was a guy that last year, an absolute disaster at Mississippi State by any measure. He had, in 2022, though, threw for 4,000 yards, right?
It's a perfectly capable and advanced quarterback.
But that goes down to, all right, how good is your offensive line and how good are the targets that you're throwing to? And that's going to be the huge question that UW has to answer is, all right, how ready are these guys? And you want to talk about development of talent. Jed Fish can coach. Their staff, they've gotten guys to perform over expectations at Arizona, and now you head up to Seattle, where the best thing that they have going for them is that you don't have to reteach confidence. You don't have to. You're not taking over a culture that's in disarray like he did at Arizona. So how quickly can you get those guys up to speed in the development task, not the culture aspect of it?
It's an interesting contrast that the team that was in the national title game is the one that we have so many questions about, and the team that they beat multiple times last year is the one that is coming in more consistent.
It's really weird.
It's that I know you get transition and you get change when you get there. Like Michigan, obviously 18 players going off to the NFL. They're obviously going under a very similar change as Washington, although they're going to have the depth to kind of backfill and make a return at least to a higher level a little bit easier. But the I don't want to say downfall, but the transition period, even if Kalen DeBoer had stayed, was still going to be egregious.
Yeah.
And it's such a strange contrast because we haven't had many teams that have been in the last 10 years who have been to that title game or near it that have had a more substantial change in where they took a step back. Yeah, Georgia went and won one, and then they came back, and we all knew that they were going to be absolutely loaded the next year. This Washington team going through this transitionary period, it's very different, and actually probably more similar to a kind of a bygone day of college football of 25 years ago, where you did have this kind of fall off when a magical class came through.
I think that one thing that you look at, though, is the transfer portal.
Sure.
That is such a game changer.
Yeah. You can do a lot of patchwork.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you just look at what they were able to do in the transfer portal. We mentioned Jonah Coleman. They go and they get a linebacker from Michigan, Hayden Moore. You get Latu. I mean, they went down the board, and the Arizona guys, you knew that those guys were going to be coming, but they were able to backfill from so many different programs across the country. And look, one thing that Jed Fish did is one thing people hate about the transfer portal itself. And when a coach leaves, so can all the players.
Take a few with
them. I think it was like 10. Was it 10 that he brought from Arizona with him? They had 28 total transfers coming in. And that is the big unknown, is how quickly can all those guys come together and meld and become one unit. That's why Oregon, you look at and you say the returning guys that they have kind of prop everything else up, and they backfilled with the transfer portal guys. They're not having to replace full sail across the board 21 of 22 starters like you're seeing at the University of Washington, where Carson Bruner, I believe, is the lone returning starter for the Huskies. All right, coming up next, hopefully we'll be able to catch up with Dylan Gabriel. All of these things are fluid, but the Oregon quarterback will be sitting down with us shortly. This is Danny and Dusty, Big Ten Media Day edition, from 10 to 3 right here on The Fan. All right, Big Ten Media Days continuing. Day 3, we are waiting on Dylan Gabriel, the Oklahoma transfer quarterback who will be playing at the University of Oregon this year. His third school. His third university. He'll be
third conference. That's what I want to ask him about. American Conference, Big 12, and now Big 10.
Yeah, and it's been a busy summer for Dylan Gabriel. He's done a lot, man, in a very short time.
Got to.
He has packed in a ton over this offseason, and I don't know if you've seen the outfit, but we got to talk to him. He's suited and booted.
Oh yeah,
he's looking sharp.
He's the Caleb Williams of quarterbacks at media day.
He looks like he would be like the mayor of a Hawaiian town.
Yes,
like it's a nice white summer suit that he's got going on.
Borderline cream.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what color it is.
Yeah.
If he's got the official color. Look good, feel good, play good, I guess speak good. Speak good. Media day. That's the way it is.
We like it.
But we're awaiting Dylan Gabriel as he's set to join us very soon. And these media days, they have gone in flurries. And we're going to have tons of audio, whether it's from PJ Fleck, Minnesota's head coach, who Dan Lanning on with Ortner and Sprague. Mm-hmm. He spoke very highly of PJ Fleck.
I could imagine Dan Lanning and PJ Fleck get along really well.
The amount of energy in that room, holy smokes.
Fleck talked for the entire 15 minutes that they're allotted on the podium and then took questions.
Hey, there you go.
So
that's the 13 minutes and 58 seconds longer than Deshaun Foster spoke during his opening statement yesterday. Oops. Did you hear what Deshaun Foster's explanation for that
one? No.
Yeah. He said that apparently that he just thought he was going to give like something brief and then open it up for questions to everybody because mm-hmm. he thought that the Big Ten media would have more questions. And so that's what the pauses were. He's waiting for like hands to go up or something like that.
So, oh.
Yeah. So he was just like, I just wanted to keep it short. I don't think that is helping UCLA's fan base right
now. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's tough.
Anyone?
It's tough.
Anyone?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yikes, dog.
That's tough. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. And it deflected a lot of the heat, though. And we'll have audio of this coming up a little bit later. But your boy Lincoln Riley, he fired up the USC fan base quite a bit yesterday.
Kicked the horn's nest a little bit.
Oh, boy. But I don't think he was totally wrong.
No.
We'll have that on what scheduling will look like moving forward in the world of college football. Again, we're waiting on Dylan Gabriel at Big Ten Media Days down in Indianapolis. Day three. We are going to be on here with you from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. when we hand it over to Isaac and Suk like we normally do. Just a forewarning, the 2 o'clock hour, as it has been the last couple of days, it dies down. They close up shop around 2 o'clock in Indianapolis. So that's when we'll go into more of a normal sports portion of the show.
There you go.
And
we're just kind of blowing and going here.
Yep. As Brent Venables would say, hose is fully inserted, blowing and going, but it is, we have other sports news as well and more NFL training camp news and a little bit of NBA stuff.
Indeed.
That, Nelly could be big news. It actually is very big news for the Portland Trailblazers, especially with the new TV deal being finalized for the NBA with Amazon, NBC, and Disney. So we'll have as much as we can of a normal sports portion of the program in the 2 o'clock hour. From now until then, though, it's going to be Big Ten Media Days through and through, through and through. We're ready to go. I'm interested to see when we get Dylan Gabriel, too, on how he feels about this receiving core that they have at the University of Oregon this year. It's as deep as I've ever seen at the University of Oregon, and it is top-heavy NFL talent littered all over the field. I do believe, pass catchers-wise, you're about 8 to 9 deep that you feel really confident in guys that can go out and play immediately.
Useful.
In a lot of different variations, whether it's size, speed, or a combination. Evan Stewart's case, size and speed, being able to go all over the field.
Being a large man?
Good to have, isn't it?
Yeah, useful.
It's useful to have. But how that compares to what he had at Oklahoma, which also littered with NFL mm-hmm. talent. He threw to a guy named Marvin Mims Jr. Pretty good guy. Central Florida, they even had a few NFL caliber receivers when he was there as well. But how that progression is going.
When they told him that they have Mike Evans at home, do you think he was thrilled about that?
When they have Mike Evans at home?
Yeah, Evan Stewart.
Oh, you know? Yeah. I think he was pretty
happy about that.
Pretty thrilled. But the relationship between quarterback and receiver, like this is the things that I want to know.
Hold on, everybody.
Oh, we got him.
We got Dylan Gabriel.
Hey. Joining us now, live from Indianapolis, is the University of Oregon's quarterback. He, in his career, has played in 50 football games, completed over 1,000 passes for 14,865 yards and 125 touchdowns so far in his career. Dylan Gabriel joining us. Dylan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing unreal. How are you doing?
Unreal.
Unreal. I like that. Unreal. That's an elite response right there. I don't even I didn't even know where to go with unreal. I've never heard anybody say I'm doing unreal right now. I love unreal. It. Now, look good, feel good, play good. You got to tell us about the suit, man, because
I like it.
I've seen pictures. I love it, man. I was saying that you have the summer suit vibe going on right now.
Oh,
what color are you calling it?
It's called bamboo.
Perfect.
I think it looks good with the green. I wasn't going to wear a yellow suit, so, you know, that would have been too much.
Yeah.
So I did go with the bamboo. Shout out Carl from State of Liberty. He got me all suited up. We look good. We feel good.
I love
it. We're playing good as of right now.
That's what I'm
talking about. Good today, for sure.
Yes, sir.
Dylan, this is obviously Big Ten Media Days. It's the introduction of the Oregon Ducks to the Big Ten. But you're also coming with a background of playing in two other conferences. You play the American Conference. You play in the Big 12. Like, what are you looking forward to is for the different and unique challenges and opportunities that come with playing in the Big Ten based on your past experiences playing in other conferences?
Yeah, it's just the environments, you know. I think as a competitor, you want to be in the biggest moments, the biggest games, the best matchups. It's something you dream of as a little kid. But also, you know, I've played in probably every time zone, north, east, south, or west, the whole nine. But I think just the experience of that and being extremely, you know, confident in any, you know, atmosphere we walk into, it's something that I'm, you know, grateful for with all the experience, but also know that, you know, we got to go earn it. It's what have you done for me lately? And I'm very focused on that and the moment right now. So, I'll use that, but to answer your question, sorry. You know, I'm super happy that, you know, the best matchups are happening. You know, that's as fans, as players, as coaches, everyone involved in college football. That's what you want to watch.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, Let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big Ten Media Days on the Fan are brought to you in part by Mods PDX. The future building is here, also in part by Legends Casino. Fun is how we roll. The Big Ten preseason media poll released on Monday had Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, and Michigan going 1-4 in now an 18-team conference. And those are the four usual suspects that you would imagine would be at or near the top. The defending national champs with all that they are having to replace on both sides of the football being at fourth, they're going to be really damn good. It all depends on continuity and how fast they can catch up and get used to playing. Their quarterback also, replacing J.J. McCarthy and going to Alex Orji, is going to be big task. You have a top 10 quarterback drafted, whether you believe he was top 10. He's a first-round quarterback by many draft grades, and that's where he went, 10th overall to the Minnesota Vikings. They've got big shoes to fill. After that, though, you sit there and you look at the Big Ten and you go, what teams are being undervalued here? And Iowa comes in at 5th, USC 6th, Wisconsin 7, Nebraska 8, and then Rutgers rounds out the top half at 9. I'm high on Rutgers. I think Rutgers is going to be good. Nebraska's schedule is so easy out of the gate.
They avoid everyone and their favorite. Nebraska, a team that is, again, picked what in the conference?
They are picked to finish 8th in the conference.
Okay, 8th in the conference has favored in their first 7 games.
Yeah, and in their first 7 games, if you look at their toughest tests that they will be facing, they got Colorado week 2, and then they have Rutgers, I think, is week 6. Mm-hmm. Their first 7 weeks, you could see Rutgers just rattling off win after win after win. But we also have to say Dylan Raiola is a true freshman that will be starting at quarterback for them,
regardless of how talented he is.
Major question marks. Major question marks. And when, especially when you don't have like the elite of the elite talent surrounding him.
Yeah.
That makes it tougher.
The offset of that is, though, the schedule. They're not going to be playing teams that are run 4 deep like Oregon and Michigan and Ohio State. You're not worried about that part of it, per se.
And now, they know that Ohio State is that week 8 team for them.
Yes.
You have plenty of time to ramp up that schedule.
Which, if you're talking about getting a freshman quarterback kind of ingratiated, I don't think you could have a better opportunity. If you want to take a look back even just last year at Dante Moore, the up and down start that he had before they eventually kind of went, and we got to pull the plug,
because
he's just not ready.
You're going to get kicked in the teeth early, and how you avoid that is paramount.
I'm trying to think of the last time we had a true freshman starter besides Dante Moore. Was it at SC with Jackson Dart?
Yeah, no, it wasn't Slovis. Who's the kid
they both
Slovis
did.
Early enrolled. He was supposed to be a senior.
17.
Yeah, he was supposed to be a senior at Modern Day, and he was a starting quarterback at USC.
Won their first 3.
Somehow, I think he's probably still playing quarterback in college football right now.
Dart is.
It's wild to think about.
Which is insane to think about.
Yeah, it's really hard to win.
It doesn't happen often. And like that's what was such a shock, was that Slovis, I believe, won his first 3. And, and he actually looked relatively good. It was like, oh, God, a true freshman?
You got to go through those lumps, though, and you will have those lumps somewhere along the road. Nebraska's at 8. Rutgers, we talked about them yesterday, where they miss the top 4 teams in this poll. They do not play Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, or Michigan this season.
Convenient.
That is the makings of making a push as the season goes on, right? And sitting there and going, they're going to be more relevant than what people believe. Then you have, in the back half, you have Washington at 10. And I still believe Washington has got more talent than the team that should be 10th in this conference. You look at their Big Ten schedule, though. They have Rutgers on the road, and that is not going to be an easy task, especially when you have to go on a short week all the way across the country, right? Because that will be a Friday game in New Jersey. Then you have Michigan right after them. Iowa at following Michigan, you play USC, you go on the road to Penn State, you have to go on the road to Oregon. That is where people are saying that's where you see Washington as the 10th best team. Attrition is going to be the key for UW because of how many pieces that you are replacing. They have got to stay healthy.
Do you think that's also that this we've talked about this as being the important thing? And when we had Pete Thamel on the other day, he said the same thing. The consistency is going to be the thing that kind of holds true for so many teams where it's the more veteran teams, it's the more consistent teams. Mm-hmm. Do you think, though, that there's a chance for some volatility, though, with UW? And much the same, we saw this 2 years ago with USC when Lincoln Riley first came over and basically brought in an entire new team, and they win 11 games. So we've seen teams be able to do this, to essentially replace and gut out and completely rebuild. And now they're doing something. We're not talking about UW, I think, enough and how different they're going to be, because they're, like we said, 21 of 22 starters. We've never seen anything like this at this level.
Joe Moore award-winning offensive line. You have to replace all of them. Yep. They feel that the strength of their team right now is running back room on the offensive side of the ball. That is wholly dependent on how good your offensive line is. Their wide receiving core, it got gutted because you had three NFL guys on it.
You had probably a all-time receiving core at your institution.
So you have, when you have those three wide receivers all taking off and heading to greener pastures, it's, all right, how do you reload? Denzel Boston is a guy they feel very high about. They got Jonah Coleman, transfer from Arizona, who played under Jed Fish last year, and he was no Jacob Cowing or Tetro McMillan, but he was a productive sophomore for them who transfers in, and he all familiarity with the offense. Will Rogers was a guy that last year, an absolute disaster at Mississippi State by any measure. He had, in 2022, though, threw for 4,000 yards, right?
It's perfectly capable and advanced quarterback.
But that goes down to, all right, how good is your offensive line and how good are the targets that you're throwing to? And that's going to be the huge question that UW has to answer is, all right, how ready are these guys? And you want to talk about development of talent. Jed Fish can coach. Their staff, they've gotten guys to perform over expectations at Arizona, and now you head up to Seattle, where the best thing that they have going for them is that you don't have to reteach confidence. You don't have to. You're not taking over a culture that's in disarray like he did at Arizona. So how quickly can you get those guys up to speed in the development task, not the culture aspect of it?
It's an interesting contrast that the team that was in the national title game is the one that we have so many questions about, and the team that they beat multiple times last year is the one that is coming in more consistent.
It's really weird.
It's that I know you get transition and you get change when you get there. Like Michigan, obviously 18 players going off to the NFL. They're obviously going under a very similar change as Washington, although they're going to have the depth to kind of backfill and make a return, at least to a higher level, a little bit easier. But the I don't want to say downfall, but the transition period, even if Kalen DeBoer had stayed, was still going to be egregious.
Yeah.
And it's such a strange contrast because we haven't had many teams that have been in the last 10 years who have been to that title game or near it that have had a more substantial change in where they took a step back. Yeah, Georgia went and won one, and then they came back, and we all knew that they were going to be absolutely loaded the next year. This Washington team going through this transitionary period, it's very different and actually probably more similar to a kind of a bygone day of college football of 25 years ago, where you did have this kind of fall off when a magical class came through.
I think that one thing that you look at, though, is the transfer portal.
Sure.
That is such a game changer.
Yeah. You can do a lot of patchwork.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you just look at what they were able to do in the transfer portal. We mentioned Jonah Coleman. They go and they get a linebacker from Michigan, Hayden Moore. You get Latu. I mean, they went down the board, and the Arizona guys, you knew that those guys were going to be coming, but they were able to backfill from so many different programs across the country. And look, one thing that Jed Fish did is one thing people hate about the transfer portal itself. And when a coach leaves, so can all the players.
Take a few with them.
I think it was like 10. Was it 10 that he brought from Arizona with him? They had 28 total transfers coming in. And that is the big unknown, is how quickly can all those guys come together and meld and become one unit. That's why Oregon, you look at and you say the returning guys that they have kind of prop everything else up, and they backfilled with the transfer portal guys. They're not having to replace full sail across the board 21 of 22 starters like you're seeing at the University of Washington, where Carson Bruner, I believe, is the lone returning starter for the Huskies. All right, coming up next, hopefully we'll be able to catch up with Dylan Gabriel. All of these things are fluid, but the Oregon quarterback will be sitting down with us shortly. This is Danny and Dusty, Big Ten Media Day edition from 10 to 3 right here on The Fan. All right, Big Ten Media Day is continuing. Day 3, we are waiting on Dylan Gabriel, the Oklahoma transfer quarterback who will be playing at the University of Oregon this year. His third school.
Mm.
His third university. He'll be
third conference. That's what I want to ask him about. American Conference, Big 12, and now Big 10.
Yeah, and it's been a busy summer for Dylan Gabriel. He's done a lot, man. In a very short time.
Got to.
He has packed in a ton over this offseason, and I don't know if you've seen the outfit, but we got to talk to him. He's suited and booted.
Oh, yeah.
He's looking sharp.
He's the Caleb Williams of quarterbacks at Media Day this year.
He looks like he would be like the mayor of a Hawaiian town.
Yes.
Like it's a nice white summer suit that he's got going on.
Borderline cream.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what color it is.
Yeah.
If he's got the official color. Look good, feel good, play good, I guess speak good.
Speak good.
Media Day. That's the way it is.
We like it.
But we're awaiting Dylan Gabriel as he's set to join us very soon. And these media days, they have gone in flurries. And we're going to have tons of audio, whether it's from PJ Fleck, Minnesota's head coach, who Dan Lanning on with Ortner and Sprague.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke very highly of PJ Fleck.
I could imagine Dan Lanning and PJ Fleck get along really well.
The amount of energy in that room, holy smokes.
Fleck talked for the entire 15 minutes that they're allotted on the podium and then took questions.
Hey, there you go.
So
that's the 13 minutes and 58 seconds longer than Deshaun Foster spoke during his opening statement yesterday.
Oops.
Did you hear what Deshaun Foster's explanation for that was?
No.
Yeah. He said that apparently that he just thought he was going to give like something brief and then open it up for questions to everybody because he thought that the Big Ten media would have more questions. And so that's what the pause is, where he's waiting for like hands to go up or something like that. So he was just like, I just wanted to keep it short. I don't think that is helping UCLA's fan base right
now. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's tough.
Anyone?
It's tough.
Anyone?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yikes, dog.
That's tough. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. And it deflected a lot of the heat, though. And we'll have audio of this coming up a little bit later. But your boy Lincoln Riley, he fired up the USC fan base quite a bit yesterday.
Kicked the hornet's nest a little bit.
Oh, boy. But I don't think he was totally wrong.
No.
We'll have that on what scheduling will look like moving forward in the world of college football. Again, we're waiting on Dylan Gabriel at Big Ten Media Days down in Indianapolis. Day 3, we are going to be on here with you from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. when we hand it over to Isaac and Suk like we normally do. Just a forewarning, the 2 o'clock hour, as it has been the last couple of days, it dies down. They close up shop around 2 o'clock in Indianapolis. So that's when we'll go into more of a normal sports portion of the show.
There you go.
And
we're just kind of blowing and going here.
Yep. As Brent Venables would say, hose is fully inserted, blowing and going. But it is, we have other sports news as well, and more NFL training camp news and a little bit of NBA stuff.
Indeed.
That, Nelly could be big news. It actually is very big news for the Portland Trailblazers, especially with the new TV deal being finalized for the NBA with Amazon, NBC, and Disney. So we'll have as much as we can of a normal sports portion of the program in the 2 o'clock hour. From now until then, though, it's going to be Big Ten Media Days through and through. We're ready to go. I'm interested to see when we get Dylan Gabriel, too, on how he feels about this receiving core that they have at the University of Oregon this year. it's as deep as I've ever seen at the University of Oregon, and it is top heavy NFL talent all over the littered all over the field. I do believe pass catchers wise, you're about 8 to 9 deep that you feel really confident in guys that can go out and play immediately.
Useful.
In a lot of different variations, whether it's size, speed, or a combination. Evan Stewart's case, size and speed, being able to go all over the field.
Being a large man.
Good to have, isn't it?
Yeah, useful.
It's useful to have. But how that compares to what he had at Oklahoma, which also littered with NFL mm-hmm. talent. He threw to a guy named Marvin Mims Jr.
He's pretty good guy.
Central Florida, they even had a few NFL caliber receivers when he was there as well. But how progression is going.
When they told him that they have Mike Evans at home, do you think he was thrilled about that?
When they have Mike Evans at home?
Yeah, Evan Stewart.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Yeah, I think he was pretty
happy about that.
Pretty thrilled. But the relationship between quarterback and receiver, like this is the things that I want to know.
Hold on, everybody.
Oh, we got
Dylan Gabriel.
Joining us now live from Indianapolis is the University of Oregon's quarterback. He, in his career, has played in 50 football games, completed over 1,000 passes for 14,865 yards and 125 touchdowns so far in his career. Dylan Gabriel joining us. Dylan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing unreal. How are you doing?
Unreal?
Unreal. I like that. Unreal. That's an elite response right there. I didn't even know where to go with unreal. I've never heard anybody say, I'm doing unreal right now. I love
unreal.
It. Now, look good, feel good, play good. You got to tell us about the suit, man. Because
you like it? You like it?
I've seen pictures. I love it, man. I was saying that you have the summer suit vibe going on right now.
What color
are you calling it?
It's called bamboo.
Perfect.
I think it looks good with the green. I wasn't going to wear a yellow suit, so, you know, that would have been too much.
Yeah.
So I did go with the bamboo. Shout out Carl from State of Liberty. He got me all suited up. We look good. We feel good.
I love
it. We're playing good as of right now.
That's what I'm
talking good today, for sure.
Yes, sir.
Dylan, this is obviously Big Ten Media Days. It's the introduction of the Oregon Ducks to the Big Ten. But you're also coming with a background of playing in two other conferences. You play the American Conference. You play in the Big 12. Like, what are you looking forward to is for the different and unique challenges and opportunities that come with playing in the Big Ten based on your past experiences playing in other conferences?
Yeah, it's just the environments, you know. I think as a competitor, you want to be in the biggest moments, the biggest games, the best matchups. It's something you dream of as a little kid. But also, you know, I've played in probably every time zone, northeast, south, or west, the whole nine. But I think just the experience of that and being extremely, you know, confident in any, you know, atmosphere we walk into, it's something that I'm, you know, grateful for with all the experience, but also know that, you know, we got to go earn it. It's what have you done for me lately? And I'm very focused on that and the moment right now. So, I'll use that, but to answer your question, I'm super happy that, you know, the best matchups are happening. You know, that's as fans, as players, as coaches, everyone involved in college football, that's what you want to watch. You know, everyone's talking about the championship game, all this. Well, now, all season, week in, week out, you got great matchups, and College game day is going to have a really tough, you know, decision to make every week.
I love it, man. You know, you've been through this before, and I'm sure that, you know, it is a daunting task, but you have a receiving core this year where you're like 8 or 9 deep at mm-hmm. wide receiver and tight end, where you've got pass catchers all over the field, and you're going to Central Florida, then going to Oklahoma. You've kind of gotten used to this. So you got to play catch up with that rapport that you get with your receivers. How often have you been out there throwing and getting timing? Because it's not just one or two guys that you're trying to get that timing with. You're going to have 8 or 9 guys on the field. What has that summer been like for you building that rapport?
It's been a bunch of work. You know, luckily, you know, from January, you know, we hit the ground running and have had a bunch of throwing sessions together. And I think, you know, just the growth in throwing sessions, you know, from one to, you know, I don't even know how many, you know, end of July, you just see how efficient we are, you know, with routes. You know, in the beginning, you know, we're throwing 20 routes each, and it's taken a while. But now, you know, with the communication, speaking the same language, we're able to, you know, get through it, still get all the routes, but be so much more efficient. And that's just the communication. And, you know, I think summer we made a really big jump. And I say that because in May, June, and July, we had a schedule where team run was first. We had a little break, and then we'd have our lift. And in that break, you know, we're able to get our breakfast. We're up in the, you know, film room, and are able to, you know, just talk through certain things, you know, for certain looks. And I think that's helped us a bunch. You know, and we have a lot of veteran guys that have played a lot of football as well. So the communication has been on a high level, conversations. But you need that, and I'm super excited, you know, just the growth that we've made. Most importantly, just not only on the field, but off, and the conversations we're able to have.
Dime Time Retreat that you guys did down in Grants Pass, the t-shirts were clean. I love the t-shirts for the Dime Time Retreat.
Thank you.
How many receivers did you pile into your minivan to drive down to GP from Eugene?
So let me give you a little history lesson on the Dime Time Retreat. Receivers and running backs are the hardest to get to the Dime Time Retreat. And you don't even need to question why, but they are. And tight ends and quarterbacks are the easiest, right?
Yeah.
So what we usually do is we have the tight ends and quarterbacks drive, and then, you know, the running backs and receivers, you know, fit into the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in my car, due to a car malfunction on Pat Herbert's side of things, Pat, T-Ferg, Kenyon, our camera guy, and we fit one more. I'm blanking. But we drive down all together, and it was a tough deal because, you know, we had some running backs and receivers who were on the later end of the portion of driving into our Airbnb, but they all made it, and they were all good, which was, you know, I'm very grateful for. But with it all, shoot, we had a lot of fun. Like, I mean, we piled, everyone came through. That's what I appreciate. Yeah. You know, everyone, you know, set a weekend aside to come through and enjoy just each other's company and fellowship to get closer. Not just, you know, when football's, you know, mandatory or whatever. It's, you know, us setting aside time for each other to do what we want to do. So it was a lot of fun. You know, there's some urban legends we always joke around about that nobody will ever know, but there were some cold beverages for everyone. So
I like that. I like that. You just listed, by the way, like 1,100 pounds of just beef in that minivan, too.
Yeah, my van wasn't going too fast.
The pass can be a little treacherous at that point.
Yes.
One of the things I've always wondered about this with as it pertains to quarterbacks and specifically in transfers, when Bo Nix came to Oregon, you know, one of the things that was helpful for him is that he had somebody kind of in place that understood him and, you know, he'd worked with in the past. And it wasn't just about him learning everything at Oregon, but also the things that he was bringing from Auburn. What are the things that you're trying to obviously take in from the coaching staff and the current players that are here at Oregon, but also bringing with you from UCF, bringing with you from Oklahoma, some familiarity, some sets, some comfortable reads, any things that kind of that you can bring to the table?
I appreciate you bringing that up because that's a real thing. You know, usually with a lot of transfers, there is some sort of prior connection, either coached for, you know, played with, etc. That creates a level of comfort. But I truly took a leap of faith, not being coached or played with any of these coaches or players. It's been really good though. You know, I think it's pushed me to be uncomfortable, and continue to grow. You know, I think a lot of people in their sixth year, fifth year, things can get a little stagnant and, you know, repetitive to where, you know, the growth also stays stagnant, where I feel like, I've continued to grow every single day. And that's a refreshing feeling, you know, being, you know, a sixth year, like I said. But I think you take what you're good at. Conceptually, you know, that's kind of universal what people run and kind of highlight, you know, certain things that I'm good at, what the team's good at. So, you know, there's growth on both ends of you know, them, you know, trying some things out, me trying some things out. But I think you find a middle ground of what you're really good at. And, you know, Coach Stein has done an amazing job of that, has pushed me to try new things, which ultimately will make me a better player. And, you know, vice versa. So I'm grateful for it. You know, there's definitely some learning curves, but like I said, it's better than repetitiveness and stagnant, you know, energy. So I'm grateful for it all.
You took the leap of faith, and now you're doing unreal at Big Ten Media Days.
Unreal.
We love to hear it, man. What are you looking most forward to this season as you guys get underway with practice starting next week?
Honestly, just to see all our work that we put in from, you know, January, you know, coming to fruition in fall camp, you know, and just compete at a high level. I think, you know, for the longest time we've been doing split teams, two spot, and we'll probably still do that for a good time in fall camp. But when we put this thing together, you're going to see a really good version of everyone individually, and then us as a unit, you know, coming together. Just because, you know, like I said, you know, the older guys in these two spot, you know, kind of periods of practice and split teams, older guys got to communicate at a high level and be leaders and bring the younger guys with them. And then younger guys have to step up to the plate, you know, learn a lot, get a lot of reps early, which in turn makes, you know, each other better. And I think it'll pay dividends for us, you know, come season.
Dylan Gabriel, really appreciate the time, man. It's great to have another quarterback wearing the number 8 for the Oregon Ducks. Thank you for the time, and good luck to you this season, my man.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, keep being unreal.
There he is, Dylan Gabriel, quarterback for the Oregon Ducks. You get that feeling. You always hear, like, the quarterback's the coolest guy in the room.
Mm, he's got it.
You get that vibe.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting how he switched when I asked him that question.
Yeah.
Not the question that I asked mattered, but, like, the thing that leaving Oklahoma, and for those that don't know, Dylan was going to go to the NFL, and he got a poor grade.
We got a red flag because of the leg injury that he had at Central Florida, too.
He got a 7th round grade, and it hit him. And so he took a leap of faith, like he said, in going to Oregon without having the prior existing relationships, because it gave him a very good opportunity.
Yeah.
You know the weapons that are there. You know the opportunities that are there. And it works great for both the Ducks and Dylan. I think it was a poignant thing that he was very serious about, like, that relationship.
Great stuff from Dylan Gabriel, the new quarterback for the Oregon Ducks. All right, hour number one is in the books. We go to hour number two from Big Ten Media Days. Hour 2 of 4 of Danny and Dusty today before we hand it off to primetime with Isaac and Souk. Big Ten Media Days brought to you on The Fan in part by Mods PDX. The future building is here. Also in part by Legends Casino. Fun is how we roll. This is Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's a nice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, Big Ten Media Days continuing. Day three, we are waiting on Dylan Gabriel, the Oklahoma transfer quarterback who will be playing at the University of Oregon this year. His third school.
Mm.
His third university. He'll be
third conference. That's what I want to ask him about. American Conference, Big 12, and now Big 10.
Yeah, and it's been a busy summer for Dylan Gabriel. He's done a lot, man. In a very short time.
Got to.
He has packed in a ton over this offseason, and I don't know if you've seen the outfit, but we got to talk to him. He's suited and booted.
Oh, yeah.
He's looking sharp.
He's the Caleb Williams of quarterbacks at media day this year.
He looks like he would be like the mayor of a Hawaiian town.
Yes.
Like it's a nice white summer suit that he's got going on.
Borderline cream.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what color it is.
Yeah.
If he's got the official color. Look good, feel good, play good, I guess. Speak good.
Speak good.
Media day. That's the way it is.
We like it.
But we're awaiting Dylan Gabriel as he's set to join us very soon. In these media days, they have gone in flurries, and we're going to have tons of audio, whether it's from PJ Fleck, Minnesota's head coach, who Dan Lanning on with Ortner and Spray.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke very highly of PJ Fleck.
I could imagine Dan Lanning and PJ Fleck get along really well.
The amount of energy in that room, holy smokes.
Fleck talked for the entire 15 minutes that they're allotted on the podium and then took questions.
Hey, there you go.
So
that's the 13 minutes and 58 seconds longer than Deshaun Foster spoke during his opening statement yesterday.
Oops.
Did you hear what Deshaun Foster's explanation for that was?
No.
Yeah. He said that apparently that he just thought he was going to give like something brief and then open it up for questions to everybody because he thought that the Big Ten media would have more questions. And so that's what the pauses were. He's waiting for like hands to go up or something like that.
So, oh
yeah. So he was just like, I just wanted to keep it short. I don't think that is helping UCLA's fan base right
now. Oh no.
Yeah. It's tough.
Anyone?
It's tough.
Anyone?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yikes, dog.
That's tough. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. And it deflected a lot of, the heat, though, and we'll have audio of this coming up a little bit later, but your boy Lincoln Riley, he fired up the USC fan base quite a bit yesterday.
Kicked the hornet's nest a little bit.
Oh, boy. But I don't think he was totally wrong.
No.
We'll have that on what scheduling will look like moving forward in the world of college football. Again, we're waiting on Dylan Gabriel at Big Ten Media Days down in Indianapolis. Day three, we are going to be on here with you from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. when we hand it over to Isaac and Suk like we normally do. Just a forewarning, the 2 o'clock hour, as it has been the last couple of days, it dies down. They close up shop around 2 o'clock in Indianapolis. So that's when we'll go into more of a normal sports portion of the show.
There you go.
And
we're just kind of blowing and going here.
Yep. As Brent Venables would say, hose is fully inserted, blowing and going, but it is, we have other sports news as well and more NFL training camp news and a little bit of NBA stuff.
Indeed.
That, Nelly could be big news. It actually is very big news for the Portland Trailblazers, especially with the new TV deal being finalized for the NBA with Amazon, NBC, and Disney. So we'll have as much as we can of a normal sports portion of the program in the 2 o'clock hour. From now until then, though, it's going to be Big Ten Media Days through and through, through and through. We're ready to go. I'm interested to see when we get Dylan Gabriel, too, on how he feels about this receiving core that they have at the University of Oregon this year. It's as deep as I've ever seen at the University of Oregon, and it is top-heavy NFL talent, all over the littered all over the field. I do believe pass catchers wise, you're about 8 to 9 deep that you feel really confident in guys that can go out and play immediately.
Useful.
In a lot of different variations, whether it's size, speed, or a combination. Evan Stewart's case, size and speed, being able to go all over the field.
Being a large man.
Good to have, isn't it?
Yeah, useful.
It's useful to have. But how that compares to what he had at Oklahoma, which also littered with NFL talent. He threw to a guy named Marvin Mims Jr.
He's pretty good guy.
Central Florida, they even had a few NFL caliber receivers when he was there as well. But how that progression is going.
When they told him that they have Mike Evans at home, do you think he was thrilled about that?
When they have Mike Evans at home?
Yeah, Evan Stewart.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Yeah, I think he was pretty
happy about that.
Pretty thrilled. But the relationship between quarterback and receiver, like this is the things that I want to know.
Hold on, everybody.
Oh, we got
Dylan Gabriel.
Hey. Right. Joining us now live from Indianapolis is the University of Oregon's quarterback. He, in his career, has played in 50 football games, completed over 1,000 passes for 14,865 yards and 125 touchdowns so far in his career. Dylan Gabriel joining us. Dylan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing unreal. How are you doing?
Unreal?
Unreal. I like that. Unreal. That's an elite response right there. I didn't even know where to go with unreal. I've never heard anybody say, I'm doing unreal right now. I love
unreal.
It. Now, look good, feel good, play good. You got to tell us about the suit, man. Because
You like it?
I've seen pictures. I love it, man. I was saying that you have the summer suit vibe going on right now.
Oh,
what color are you calling it?
It's called bamboo.
Perfect.
I think it looks good with the green. I wasn't going to wear a yellow suit, so, you know, that would have been too much.
Yeah.
So I did go with the bamboo. Shout out Carl from State of Liberty. He got me all suited up. We look good. We feel good.
I love
it. We're playing good as of right now.
That's what I'm
talking good today, for sure.
Yes, sir.
Dylan, this is obviously Big Ten Media Days. It's the introduction of the Oregon Ducks to the Big Ten. But you're also coming with a background of playing in two other conferences. You play the American Conference. You play in the Big 12. Like, what are you looking forward to is for the different and unique challenges and opportunities that come with playing in the Big Ten based on your past experiences playing in other conferences?
Yeah, it's just the environments. You know, I think as a competitor, you want to be in the biggest moments, the biggest games, the best matchups. It's something you dream of as a little kid. But also, you know, I've played in probably every time zone, north, east, south, or west, the whole nine. But I think just the experience of that and being extremely, you know, confident in any, you know, atmosphere we walk into, it's something that I'm, you know, grateful for with all the experience, but also know that, you know, we got to go earn it. It's what have you done for me lately? And I'm very focused on that and the moment right now. So I'll use that. But to answer your question, sorry. You know, I'm super happy that, you know, the best matchups are happening. You know, that's as fans, as players, as coaches, everyone involved in college football. That's what you want to watch. You know, everyone's talking about the championship game, all this. Well, now, all season, week in, week out, you got great matchups, and College Game Day is going to have a really tough, you know, decision to make every week.
I love it, man. You know, you've been through this before, and I'm sure that, you know, it is a daunting task, but you have a receiving core this year where you're like 8 or 9 deep at wide receiver and tight end, where you've got pass catchers all over the field, and you're going to Central Florida, then going to Oklahoma. You've kind of gotten used to this. So you got to play catch up with that rapport that you get with your receivers. How often have you been out there throwing and getting timing? Because it's not just one or two guys that you're trying to get that timing with. You're going to have 8 or 9 guys on the field. What has that summer been like for you building that rapport?
It's been a bunch of work. You know, luckily, you know, from January, you know, we hit the ground running and have had a bunch of throwing sessions together. And I think, you know, just the growth in throwing sessions, you know, from one to, you know, I don't even know how many, you know, end of July, you just see how efficient we are, you know, with routes. You know, in the beginning, you know, we're throwing 20 routes each, And it's taken a while, but now, you know, with the communication, speaking the same language, we're able to, you know, get through it, still get all the routes, but be so much more efficient. And that's just the communication. And, you know, I think summer we made a really big jump. And I say that because in May, June, and July, we had a schedule where team run was first. We had a little break, and then we'd have our lift. And in that break, you know, we're able to get our breakfast. We're up in the, you know, film room, and are able to, you know, just talk through certain things, you know, for certain looks. And I think that's helped us a bunch. You know, and we have a lot of veteran guys that have played a lot of football as well. So the communication has been on a high level, conversations, but you need that. And I'm super excited, you know, just the growth that we've made. Most importantly, just not only on the field, but off, and the conversations we're able to have.
Dime Time Retreat that you guys did down in Grants Pass. The t-shirts were clean. I love the t-shirts for the Dime Time Retreat.
Thank you.
How many receivers did you pile into your minivan to drive down to GP from Eugene?
So let me give you a little history lesson on the Dime Time Retreat. Receivers and running backs are the hardest to get to the Dime Time Retreat. And you don't even need to question why, but they are. And tight ends and quarterbacks are the easiest, right?
Yeah.
So what we usually do is we have the tight ends and quarterbacks drive, and then, you know, the running backs and receivers, you know, fit into the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in my car, due to a car malfunction on Pat Herbert's side of things, Pat, T-Ferg, Kenyon, our camera guy, and we fit one more. I'm blanking, but we drive down all together, and it was a tough deal because, you know, we had some running backs and receivers who were on the later end of the portion of driving into our Airbnb, but they all made it, and they were all good, which was, you know, I'm very grateful for. But with it all, shoot, we had a lot of fun. Like, I mean, we piled. Everyone came through. That's what I appreciate. Yeah. You know, everyone, you know, set a weekend aside to come through and enjoy just each other's company and fellowship to get closer. Not just, you know, when football's, you know, mandatory or whatever. It's, you know, us setting aside time for each other to do what we want to do. So it was a lot of fun. You know, there's some urban legends we always joke around about that nobody will ever know. But there were some cold beverages for everyone. So
I like that. I like that. You just listed, by the way, like 1,100 pounds of just beef in that minivan, too.
Yeah, my van wasn't going too fast.
The pass can be a little treacherous at that point.
Yes.
One of the things I've always wondered about this with as it pertains to quarterbacks and specifically in transfers, when Bo Nix came to Oregon, you know, one of the things that was helpful for him is that he had somebody kind of in place that understood him and, you know, he'd worked with in the past. And it wasn't just about him learning everything at Oregon, but also the things that he was bringing from Auburn. What are the things that you're trying to obviously take in from the coaching staff and the current players that are here at Oregon, but also bringing with you from UCF, bringing with you from Oklahoma, some familiarity, some sets, some comfortable reads, any things that kind of that you can bring to the table?
I appreciate you bringing that up because that's a real thing. You know, usually with a lot of transfers, there is some sort of prior connection, either coached for, you know, played with, et cetera, that creates a level of comfort. But I truly took a leap of faith, not being coached or played with any of these coaches or players. It's been really good, though. You know, I think it's pushed me to be uncomfortable and continue to grow. You know, I think a lot of people in their sixth year, fifth year, things can get a little stagnant and you know, repetitive to where, you know, the growth also stays stagnant, where I feel like I've continued to grow every single day. And that's a refreshing feeling, you know, being, you know, a sixth year, like I said. But I think you take what you're good at. Conceptually, you know, that's kind of universal what people run and kind of highlight, you know, certain things that I'm good at, what the team's good at. So, you know, there's growth on both ends of, you know, them, you know, trying some things out, me trying some things out. But I think you find a middle ground of what you're really good at. And, you know, Coach Stein has done an amazing job of that, has pushed me to try new things, which ultimately will make me a better player. And, you know, vice versa. So I'm grateful for it. You know, there's definitely some learning curves, but like I said, it's better than repetitiveness and stagnant, you know, energy. So I'm grateful for it all.
You took the leap of faith, and now you're doing Unreal at Big Ten Media Days.
Unreal.
We love to hear it, man. What are you looking most forward to this season as you guys get underway with practice starting next week?
Honestly, just to see all our work that we put in from, you know, January, you know, coming to fruition in fall camp, you know, and just compete at a high level. I think, you know, for the longest time we've been doing split teams, two spot, and we'll probably still do that for a good time in fall camp. But when we put this thing together, you're going to see a really good version of everyone individually, and then us as a unit, you know, coming together just because, you know, like I said, you know, the older guys in these two spot, you know, kind of periods of practice and split teams, older guys got to communicate at a high level and be leaders and bring the younger guys with them. And then younger guys have to step up to the plate, you know, learn a lot, get a lot of reps early, which in turn makes, you know, each other better. And I think it'll pay dividends for us, you know, come season.
Dylan Gabriel, really appreciate the time, man. It's great to have another quarterback wearing the number 8 for the Oregon Ducks. Thank you for the time, and good luck to you this season, my man.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, keep being unreal.
There he is, Dylan Gabriel, quarterback for the Oregon Ducks. You get that feeling. You always hear, like, the quarterback's the coolest guy in the room.
Mm, he's got it.
You get that vibe.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting how he switched when I asked him that question.
Yeah.
Not the question that I asked mattered, but, like, the thing that leaving Oklahoma, and for those that don't know, Dylan was going to go to the NFL, and he got a poor grade.
We got a red flag because of the leg injury that he had at Central Florida, too.
He got a 7th round grade, and it hit him. And so he took a leap of faith, like he said, in going to Oregon without having the prior existing relationships, because it gave him a very good opportunity.
Yeah.
You know the weapons that are there. You know the opportunities that are there. And it works great for both the Ducks and Dylan. I think it was a poignant thing that he was very serious about, like, that relationship.
Great stuff from Dylan Gabriel, the new quarterback for the Oregon Ducks. All right, hour number one is in the books. We go to hour number two from Big Ten Media Days. Hour two of four of Danny and Dusty today before we hand it off to primetime with Isaac and Souk. Big Ten Media Days brought to you on the fan in part by Mods PDX. The future building is here. Also in part by Legends Casino. Fun is how we roll. This is Danny and Dusty on the fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.